Let me just try to explain a little bit more what that question was about for Valerie, and for the rest of us too, really. So we all need to be reminded of these things over and over. At least I do. But the Lord, ever since the Gentiles declared, you know, we want our pleasures and our gods and don't want anything to do with God, the Lord chose Abram, became Abraham, his grandson Jacob became Israel, and God worked with Israel in the world, promised them great things, made covenants to them. They were the ones that the promises were made to, the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when they crucified the Lord, rejected their Messiah that had come to lead them and to rule in the world, they got the last part of what Isaiah in, I'm trying to think where that is, where is that? Isaiah 61:3, I think it is, or 1-3. He had prophesied that. Oh boy, I should do this in the morning when my mind is fresh. Let me get that verse up here and. I remember now. He prophesied that his. Earthly ministry, Jesus' earthly ministry would end with a acceptable year of the Lord. There would be like a extension after his ministry had been rejected, and you can see a turn here. Let me just get it posted and then quote it. The first two verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's not you and me. That's not Jesus that's talking. That's Isaiah that's talking about the Spirit of the Lord God being upon him. Because the Lord hath anointed me, Isaiah, to preach good things unto the meek. Now, here it's getting... He was a prophet, not a preacher, not a... king or anything like that. Isaiah was in these words prophesying about Jesus. So as we said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Isaiah, because the Lord hath anointed. You know what that word anointed means? That means Messiah or Christ. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, and that's what Jesus did. So this is prophecy of Jesus' life and what he's going to do, what he's going to accomplish. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. These are all good things that the Lord did for Israel that would believe when he was walking the earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's going to happen more in the future. But to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that's the last thing that ends up being part of the Lord's earthly ministry, because it goes into, look at the dark side that comes up here. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Well, that's to comfort Israel that mourns for Christ for having put the nails in his hands when they see him, according to Zechariah 12:10. Now, the Lord quotes this in Luke 16, 17. Let me get the right starting point here. We'll start with 17. There you go. He basically, for sake of time, starting in Luke 4:17, he starts with this prophecy that's in Isaiah 61, verse 1. And when he gets to verse 2, that's where we see here him quoting Luke 4:19 to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, that the Lord will still accept believers after they've rejected him crucified. It doesn't say all that, but that's the way it worked out to be, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book on that part about to extract vengeance. I don't have the right wording, but it was the violent part that follows. He closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down in the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So in other words, he, in his earthly ministry, had those parts right up to where he stopped reading were part of his earthly ministry. What follows that are not part of his earthly ministry. They come later. There was a division there. So at that, during that acceptable year of the Lord, they had from Acts 1 through Acts 7 to believe. And there were some that did. Remember, James in Acts 20, I think it is, says there were thousands, or 21, thousands that believed. We know that in one place there were 5,000, another place there were 3,000 men that believed, plus you have to assume some of them were women additional to that. They were added to the existing church that Christ started in Matthew 18, 19, 20, in that area. And during that, all that time, God was ministering to the world through Israel, through the nation of Israel, through the covenants made with Israel. And that's what God did when that acceptable year of the Lord expired and Israel fell. That's the way Paul puts it in Romans 11, that Israel fell. Through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, to the Gentiles that will provoke Israel to jealousy. And so as Israel fell in Acts 7 and Paul got saved in Acts 9, that first four chapters or so after Acts, let's see, four, yeah, about, no, 9 to 19, 10 chapters, God still worked with those same people. He didn't change. He changed the gospel. It was no longer believe the covenants and keep the commandments. It was believe that Christ died for your sins. And anybody, there was no distinction between Jews and Gentiles anymore. And so today we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. But during that transitional period, the way Paul was saved was a mystery. It was a secret. It was something that God knew about, planned it before the beginning of the world, but kept it a secret. He didn't tell it. He did not reveal it to the prophets to write down. It's not in our Bible before Acts 9. So, during those early years, the years before before the end of that acceptable year, though, during the first seven chapters of Acts, before our salvation was announced by the salvation of Paul, and after Paul was saved in Acts 9, all the way up to Acts 19 or so, those 10 or 11 chapters, God was still working with Israel. Anybody that heard the gospel could be saved, but the Lord sent Paul to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Sending him to them first doesn't mean he's not sent or not able to preach to people like us. But those people that he was sent to are the ones that he writes to. So we know that those first six epistles that he wrote, chronologically, the first six were written during Acts, during this period, while God was still working with Israel, bringing them either into the little flock before Acts 9 or bringing them into the body of Christ by Paul's preaching after Paul was saved. At first, you know, there's a progression that goes along there. At first, Paul just preached about who Jesus was, the thing that Israel had missed. Then he started preaching how to be saved, the gospel of Christ to them in the dispensation of the gospel. Now, we're not in the dispensation of the gospel. The dispensation of the gospel was when those signs were needed because the scriptures were not completed. They're completed now. And in those last seven epistles that Paul wrote, they had them. They were trading them around back and forth between the assemblies, the letters that Paul, the epistles that Paul had written, being inspired of God. And so there was no need to speak in tongues because there was no foreign Jews coming that needed to be evangelized. There was no need for any of those special showings. The verse says that the Jews require a sign, and I forget where it is, I'm sorry, but there's a verse that says, where are our signs? Israel is saying, where is our signs? We're apostate. They were apostate at the time. The Lord said in John 4:48, let me look it up. But it's a confirmation of what we've been saying, that Israel needed to see things happen physically. Jesus said unto them, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So it was signs. Signs were given. There are five different kinds of signs, but that kind, during those early years there, was given to help Israel believe, and Israelites believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, risen from the dead. Which, if they would have believed it before, they wouldn't have crucified him, would they? So, that's the position of signs. That's why there was speaking in tongues. Prophecies, prophesying. The prophet's job was to acknowledge that what Paul wrote or spoke were the words of God. Before Paul and those prophets, before Paul received the inspired word of God and the prophets acknowledged it and it was written down, it was not in the Bible. You know, there was 39 books. I guess they had less than 39, but it was the same material. They had some of them combined in the Old Testament days. And they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or Paul's letters. But then when Christ came, four people wrote about the life of Christ, the life and times of Jesus Christ. We've got books today like that. Well, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's different from the gospel of Christ. Mark is I think he's the only one that uses the term, and he uses it to introduce his life and times of Jesus Christ, the things he did while he walked the earth.